All right, Tavos, good morning. Let's begin. So we left off on page 158. So remember, again, we were speaking about the idea of Kashtiel, the Ramchal, bringing down the Yisod, that the concept of Zrizos is really to be Lamala min Azman, is really to be above time, to transcend time. Why do I have to transcend time? Because as we pointed out, the issue that arises is that time introduces its own sets of variables. And if one allows oneself to be subjected to time, so by definition, multiple variables will come on the scene. So the Ramchal gave the example of Binayo ben Yehoyada, that when David HaMelech told him to anoint Shlomo, so Binayo takes him, take him down to the Gihon spring and anoint him. So Binayo says, Amen, Ken Yomar Hashem. So the Rebbe was saying, why does he have to say Amen, Ken Yomar Hashem? Because this was Binayo's way of initiating the process right then and there. Even before Shlomo was taken down to the Gihon, the Hamlocha, the anointing of Shlomo, already began at that moment. Why? Because Binayo ben Yehoyada understood that if we would let any time elapse, it's just possible that that different variables would be introduced. So we'll say, so let's pick up page 158. It's the third to last paragraph on the, actually, the second paragraph down. Yukushios. Right, I think we, Yukushios. There will always be difficulties and challenges. Hazman ma'ala bayos v'kushios utzrechem v'ikuvim. Time introduces all types of problems, all types of questions, all types of obstacles and hurdles. If you entered into the framework of time, histabachta im hazman. This is a very, very profound phrase. Histabachta. Literally, again, you're going to get entangled with time. The idea is there's no such thing as time without variables. There's no such thing as time without some new hurdle. Binayo ben Yehoyada ish gibor chayo. So Binayo ben Yehoyada was a great warrior. Yodea shebeinyanim gidolim lo mischashvim bizman. So it says an incredible yisod. He understood that when it comes to important matters, you can't, essentially, it's not that you can't take your time, but you can't get involved with time. The moment that you allow things to be regulated by the yisod of time is the moment that you run the risk of having them derailed. Lachein, hishiru zal, ushmartem es hamatzos. Therefore, Chazal said, you shall guard the matzos, which again we learn, we darshan means, ushmartem es hamitzvos. Dafka mehamatza anu lomdim. It's dafka from matzah that we learn, bitzvah haboli adecha, Atach mitzana. So we'll say, remember, matzah is the paradigmatic example of the impact that time could have. Because remember, we keep going back to the same simple mushel. You have the piece of dough sitting on your table. And what happens right now? It's beautiful. It's perfect. You can make a pound of shmura matzah out of it. $22 a pound. Incredible. What happens? If you let it sit there, again, remember, you could close the windows, close the doors, and you can go ahead and make sure that nothing else acts upon that dough. Yet what? 18 minutes later, it's chametz. Why? Because that's the power of the passage of time. Time, by definition, changes realities. Even if you can't observe any different type of external force that acted upon that item. Binayo ben Yehoyada understood this. This is what Ramchal was saying. Mitzvah habol yadecha atach mitzena. So you have an opportunity to perform mitzvah, an opportunity to do something profound and meaningful. Don't let it become chametz means don't let time elapse. Because the moment you allow time to be introduced is the moment you allow for variables. Va'amru. There's an amazing Gemara. So the Ramchal quotes the Gemara that says, "Li'olam yaktim adam l'dvar mitzvah." A person should always try. Yaktim means a person should always try to act in haste. A person should always try to go ahead and proactively engage in a mitzvah. Shalafi shekdima bechira letzira, because the older one preceded the younger one. Zachsa v'kadma v'kidma arba doros b'Yisrael malchus. Her offspring ultimately again. He came into the monarchy four generations earlier. Now, what is this talking about? This is about the daughters of Lot, right? So the daughters of Lot, remember, again, after the destruction of Sodom, go ahead and assume that the entire world was destroyed. So what do they do? Nashkeno avino yayin. So the older one says to the younger one, let's intoxicate our father, and we'll have relations with him, we'll become pregnant, and hopefully perpetuate the world. Now, again, to us, sounds like a pretty backward plan, but Lamaisa, they thought that they were actually doing something good by perpetuating the human race. So says the Ramchal something absolutely amazing, which is, whose idea was this? This was the older daughter's idea. And in fact, the older daughter took the initiative, and she spent the first night with her father. So the Gemara says that because the older one took initiative for the mitzvah, quote-unquote, before the younger one, so her offspring created the monarchy of the Jewish people four generations earlier than the younger one. So what is it talking about? So look what he writes. Mehabasa bechor shalot mimena yatsa Moav. Umibita hashnia yatsa Amon. So remember, Lot's older daughter gave birth to a son, ultimately who was named Moav. And from his younger daughter, she gave birth to a son who was named Amon. Moav hikdimu es Amon. And Moab ultimately preceded Amon. What does that mean? Mi Moab yatsa David HaMelech. So remember, who comes from Moab? So the most famous descendant from Moab, so people often assume, is Rus, right? Which is absolutely true. But remember again, from Rus hails David HaMelech. So also this amazing yisod that from this act of sounds strange, but well-intentioned incest, right? From the act, ultimately, again, of the older daughter to sleep with her father in an effort to perpetuate humanity, ultimately, David HaMelech comes from that. That's from the older daughter, from Moab. And furthermore, Virak Rechavam, Hanechet Shalo, Hu Haya Ben Ha'amonis, Az Hu Zocha Lihios Melech. On the other hand, again, so Amon, ultimately, there's a woman by the name of Naamah Ha'amonis, and Naamah was the mother of Rechavam, right? Rechavam ultimately is the son of Shlomo HaMelech. So again, so both, amazingly enough, both of these girls happen to give birth to different lines of the Davidic kingdom. But Moab creates monarchical lines before Amon. So what do Chazal attribute Moab's introduction of kings earlier than Amon's? The fact that the older daughter took the initiative before the younger one. See, he says, "As roem shedor ha'amoavi hektem amalchus." So we see again that Moab came into or produced monarchical lines earlier than his younger brother Amon. Shuv anachnu roem, top of 159. We see again pa'amayim kvar. See, interestingly enough, now we see, this is a second example, by the way, of how Zrizos, so I just want to point out, to me, this Gemara, we've seen this Gemara, but this Gemara, it's wild, because here, remember, you know, we look at this act ultimately again as, I mean, this is terrible. I'm saying, like, it's an immoral act of incest with daughters and their father. I mean, this is sick stuff. But again, Chazal understood the pure kavanas of these girls. Their kavanas, I mean, it was totally misguided, but their kavanas were good. Their kavanas were so good, by the way, that they produce David HaMelech. You see, just as an aside for a moment, you ever wonder to yourself, like, why does monarchy, you know, what does monarchy pride itself on more than anything?
Pedigree.
Right? Dynasty, right? Perfect pedigree with bloodlines. All about blood, right? So you can look at this. You can look at the Queen of England. So you can't make a trace their pedigree. I mean, again, that's not such great yichus in that line. But you understand, but it's royal blood. It's royal blood. You ever wonder to yourself how it's an amazing thing? Where does our monarchy come from? So our monarchy comes from two very interesting stories. The first is the story of Lot and his daughters in act of incest. What's the second one? What's the second story? Yehuda and Tamar, right? So remember that interesting episode as well, as where Yehuda thinks that his daughter-in-law is a harlot, has relations with her, gets her pregnant, and then they have a child. And one of those twins ultimately is the father of the Davidic line. It's pretty strange. So like when the king wants to tell his children about where we come from, he opens up the Chumash, right? He opens up Chumash Bereishis. He shows them these two stories. Ah, here's the Alter Baba, right? The older daughter of Lot. And again, the Alter Zayde, the Yehuda. And you see all of this stuff. Very strange. So the Maharal brings down, he says that it's about creating humility within the monarchy. He says a king is prone to gaiva. So how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensure that the king would never become a Baal Gaiva? Hey, getting carried away for yourself? Why don't you open up the Chumash? Why don't you open up the Chumash and look at your origins? So before you go ahead and you get too carried away with yourself, look ultimately where you come from. But there's a different yisod. I think what the Ramchal is trying to point out is the following. What's the whole message with the daughters of Lot? What's the whole message? It's Mesilas Nefesh. What the daughters of Lot did, they were willing to give themselves into such a heinous and immoral act because they felt it was necessary for the collective. They thought that this is what the collective needed to endure, and they were willing to do it. What is a melech? What is a melech? What is a leader? A melech or a leader is someone who puts the needs of the collective above his own. At the end of the day, a life of service, a life of leadership, a life of malchus, is a life where I say the needs of the tzibur, the needs ultimately of the am, the needs of the constituents of the flock must come before myself. That's what the daughters of Lot did. It's a paradigmatic example. What the Ramchal now is saying is, it's interesting how now twice we have two examples of this quote-unquote zrizos, this chashivos ha'akdama. So now, remember, the first one, not going in chronological order, but the first one that he quoted was by Benayo ben Yehoyada. Right? So when Benayo says, oh, David, you want to go ahead and anoint Shlomo, so let's go ahead and do that now, even before you get down to the Gihon. Second example over here is from the older daughter of Lot. She has the zrizos to engage her father first. So why is it that we find these repeated examples by Malchus? Lama, Kimazos Malchus. So we'll begin this now, but we'll stop in just a few moments. Because what is Malchus? Shamelech wrote Levatzea Dvarim. You see, a king is someone, or it's not just the king, it's a good, well, king is the paradigm for a leader. A leader, is someone who wants to get things done. Hu lo yachol letaim es hatochnis hamalchutit lechol azman shel kol hamedina ulechol talichim ulechol hamurkavios ulechol atzrachim. By the way, I just want to say something, which is probably like a little bit dust. You know, Judaism does not believe in democracy. Right? Judaism does not believe in democracy. Right? Why? Because not everybody's opinion matters. That's not everybody's opinion matters, meaning not everybody has something logical or sensible to contribute, and not everybody should have a say. Judaism believes in a theocracy, right, which is a monarchy governed by religion. So what's the beautiful part about having a monarchy? This is, everyone says to yourself, like, so why is it? Why does Judaism subscribe to monarchy? Because the king is supposed to be the person who the nation believes in, that he has the right vision. And what's the goal? The goal is, let him get his stuff done. A good king, obviously he has advisors, and there's a mechanism, he can't go to war by himself. There are certain checks and balances, but the yisod of the king is, he has clarity of vision as to what he has to do, and he's not going to let time or anything else get in the way of what he has to accomplish. That's the melech. Shamelech rotze levatzea dvarim. He wants to accomplish things. Hulo yochal letaim es hatochnis hamalchusis lechol hazman shakol hamedina. He doesn't have time to just wait around for others to get their act together in order to go out and do things. Ulechol hatalichim, ulechol hamarkavios, ulechol hatzrachim. The king is someone, again, who is eager to act, who wants to accomplish. What happens? See, if the king has to start explaining every decision, if the king has to start jumping through hoops in order to do every single thing, so what happens? We know, because we all experience this. What happens when there's something you want to accomplish, but there are just too many, what's the right word? Layers of bureaucracy. Good. Right. So again, layers of bureaucracy. So what happens? Stuff just doesn't get done. It just doesn't get done, because what ends up happening is, at a certain point in time, the dynamic of time kicks in. So, you know, Reuven starts over here and wants to accomplish something. By the time he has to go through, we'll use that term, all the bureaucratic channels, by the time he finally gets the green light, sometimes the opportunity is gone. Sometimes the opportunity is there. But one thing is clear, which is that time changes the dynamic of everything. The king is someone who wants to accomplish now, and doesn't want to have to wait to go through all the processes. Kasher lemelech yesh eizeh ratzon, asu lo yachol lahagid, rega, bo nireh eichel kriyais. The king is someone, when he wants to accomplish something, cannot say, well, one moment, bo nireh, איך זה מסתדר עם המשרד הזה, והמשרד הזה, והמשרד הזה. Right? So the king is someone, when he wants to accomplish something, he can't be told, well, why don't you check it out with this office, and check it out with that office, and see what this one has to say, and that one has to say. It doesn't work. Otherwise, the king can't accomplish. Melech sherotze laharitz tochnis machuzis, kol dem kol, achshav osim. The most important part of the king's platform is now. Act now. Act again. This is why you're careful who you appoint as the king, because it's an incredible amount of power, an incredible amount of authority. But the reason why a system of theocracy works is because the king can't go ahead and go through multiple bureaucratic channels. Because as we see this all the time. Things don't get done when people have to jump through multiple hoops in order to be able to make one simple or important decision. That's the yisod of the malchus. Malchus is act now. Achshav osim. Now we go ahead. And we act. Kulam yistadruli, ani holech lesham, vekulam yu mutuam iti, velo ani mutuam itam. Kach nira melech. A king is someone who says, acharai. Follow me. Follow me. I'm leading the charge. This is what we're doing. This is how we're going to do it. And again, you'll get on board. Hamelech sholit. The king rules. V'tzarech ladas shekasher ata nichnas lema'arecha shel mitzos, ata nichnas l'sugyas malchus. So we'll say, this is an incredible yisod. When it comes to mitzvos, you know, I might not be a melech in my life, but I'm a melech of my mitzvos. Each of us is a melech of our mitzvos. L'shitas ha-malchus sh'aribonosh ol malach. So stop over here, but this is an incredible yisod, that ultimately each of us is a melech in the realm of mitzvos. And just like the melech has control of his kingdom, and he doesn't have to jump through hoops, and he doesn't have to clear it with this office, or with that office, or with this one, or with that one, but the melech knows what has to be done, and he's empowered to go ahead and get it done. We're each the melech of the kingdom of our mitzvos. If something has to get done, don't allow for time to intervene. If it needs to get done, like the older daughter of Lot, then ultimately take charge. Don't clear it with any offices. Don't consult with too many people. Take the reins and make it happen. All right, we'll stop over here.